I'm here with Andy Canning from Scotland. Andy, how are you?
All good, yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How do you think the show's going so far?
We're up on last year. Competition's got 354 entries. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing from the judges is they're struggling to pick, which means quality's shot up as well, so people get inspired. You know, last year we had 302 entries, so it's a nice jump up. So, no, all pleased.
Excellent. And it's in all categories, isn't it? I mean, you've got the full range of stuff here.
Yeah, everything from sci-fi to armour, those strange things with wings, aircraft, you know, figures, busts, everything. Everything's there, ships, the lot.
Where have people come from for the show today?
We've got everything from Ireland, Poland, a strange place down south called Englandshire, fair bit local, Scotland, obviously. So, yeah, all over.
Even a couple from Flemish countries.
There are indeed, yeah. A Belgian is abound, but he's not listening to us or looking. Never mind, we'll get him later. He's engrossed in his phone.
He's giving us the side eye. There's a one-day show. Have you considered making it 2 days?
We've talked about it, and we're content. We don't want to be the biggest show. What we want to do, and what we've always set out to do, is figure what we wanted in a show as a bunch of friends and a bunch of modellers and have the best show we can. So good traders that we'd want to buy from, as many clubs as we can, and the balance, then we get a good competition that inspires people to buy kits. They buy kits at the trade are happy, they make money, they come back the following year, and the whole thing perpetuates itself.
There's a lot of great traders here, but you also get support from some great sponsors. Who do you have sponsoring the show?
We've got a great relationship with David and Mark at AFE. They've been with us from the get-go. They understood what we wanted to do in terms of a model show and not persecuting the trade and using them as cash cows. Actually working with them, and it can be the dumb things. You know, we accidentally in year one put bacon rolls on. Now I say accidentally, I was hungry, and then I thought the boys might like some bacon, so I got 20 bacon rolls done. All of a sudden everyone liked a bacon roll, as you do. We got some more done. Every year from there the trade always get bacon or sausage rolls. They're almost sitting waiting for it at 8:30 on a Saturday morning. So they've worked really well. Wonderland, probably one of the UK's oldest model shops, and Ian's no dummy. He's a very astute businessman. You know, I used to work for him many, many years ago. I used to work on a Saturday for £7 credit when I was 12 years old back in the early 80s, and I was happy. A Tamiya kit cost a fiver then, so I was happier then. So Ian's a huge supporter of us, pushes the show really hard, banners, posters in the shop, because he knows there's a whole lot of Edinburgh business there to come in. So he's huge with us. And Alan at AMS Models, you know, the boys up there, again, huge supporters of the show, always put prizes up for the competition, talks about it to everyone, and he's been quite key. You know, Alan Jameson and Brian Murdoch, you know, introducing us to the likes of yourself, Christoph, Adam Wilder, all people who've come over to the show with us.
And you also got a lot of great clubs. Which clubs do you have at the show today?
We've got, like you said, we've got a whole list probably that I can't even name. The one that's caught my eye, it's a strange scale, is SIG 144. But on the left as you go out, and those are some, you know, I'm squinting to see the models, and they're stunning. British Bulldogs are here, several IPMS clubs, all the local guys, Falkirk, are big supporters of us and have always worked really well with us, Stirling, the same, Ayrshire, you know, a lot of good guys there.
And you have a lot of IPMS Edinburgh guys helping with the show.
So Edinburgh has kind of three model clubs, IPMS, MAFA and the Edinburgh, I'm now embarrassed, I can't actually tell you what the other Edinburgh one is, but we all go to the same meeting once a month. We're all kind of together. Yeah. The headline banners don't really matter. We're all modelers, so it's their show. We put this show on for our guys here, and it's expanded from there.
Do you have a date set for next year?
no, not yet, but we've kind of stuck to September. Mm. What we're conscious of is trying to not get too close to any other shows in the UK, although there's always going to be
it's a really tight window, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really tight window, and Europe, because, you know, when we've got friends like Christoph and Herman and these guys coming over, we don't want, there needs to be a couple of weeks gap between any big shows in Europe, so that they're happy to come over, and it's all affordability as well.
Yeah, especially this year, a lot of people are doing less shows this year.
Correct. You know, the trade are doing less shows this year. And overall, if you speak to traders, they're now looking and seeing where do we go and make money, because they're there as a business. So they can go to a show and fly the flag, that's terrific. But unless they're making money, they're not going to be back, and that's what we're seeing now.
All right. Well, really great to be here. Thank you ever so much for inviting me.
Good afternoon.
We're looking forward to coming back again next year.
Good.
And everyone listening, you really did miss out if you didn't come today. Make sure you're at Scale Scotland next year.
And keep an eye on the Facebook page.
Yes. The Facebook page is Scale Scotland.
It's just Scale Scotland. The website's www.scalescotland.co.uk. All the information's up on there, but Facebook's the easiest place to see it.
And look Andy up as well, Andy Canning, because he does fantastic scratchbook stuff, which he doesn't even mention.
No, not too much.
All right, thanks, Andy.
No bother.
Hello, hello. This is Tom Anish of Anish Models interrupting this great podcast for an annoying ad again. If you need high-precision tools, 3D models, decals or resin parts for hyper-detailing, and I'm sure you do, then just visit my webshop, www.anyz.io. Low-priced worldwide shipping and even free shipping for many countries available. And believe it or not, all orders above 50 euros qualify for a free decal sheet of your choice. So, hurry up! See you on the interwebs on anish.io.
Okay, I'm here with Keith from Cosmic Scale Models. Keith, can you tell me a bit about the business?
We started in 2019, just as lockdown came in. We're trying to do sci-fi kits and accessories that you can't
kind of stuff you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're trying to fill the little gaps in the market, accessories and kits that nobody else is interested in producing.
I mean, these are franchises people know really well, like Star Trek, the old TV show V, Mondoshawan from Fifth
Element. Yeah,
all kinds of
stuff. Spaceballs and Oblivion.
Oh, the Spaceballs is particularly good. People, you have to. I'll get some photos to put up in the show notes after. You have to see it, really. The flying Winnebago, all the characters, fantastic stuff. And it's 3D, right?
Yeah. The Spaceballs was designed by a guy called Jeff Fink in Canada, and he sells the 3D files through our shop, and we also produced a kit from it as well, licensed through Jeff Fink. And we've also have the figure sculpted, so it's sort of grown from just a 3D idea that Jeff had to a kit and figures, and you can buy the whole shooty match, really. You can,
do you do 3D yourself?
Yes, yeah. I do sort of hard surface 3D modelling, so your ships and that sort of thing. And any figures that we need, a friend of mine sculpts them.
Which program do you use?
For the 3D sculpting, I use a CAD program called Design Spark.
And you print yourself?
Yeah, well, I'd say 90% of our prints we do ourselves. Big things like the Ferengi shuttle or the travel pod or the studio scale stuff that we produce. That's all done by a prototype company.
What printer do you use?
I use the Frozen 8K, Mega 8K.
Because the resolution on your prints is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really good. There's very little cleanup required.
That's right. Yeah.
When you supply the stuff, also you've cleaned the supports off, so when people buy the figures, they're ready to go pretty much.
Mostly, unless it's something that needs to be kept in position.
Yeah.
Some of the small figure sets we keep them on the support, so it's easier for packaging.
Well, it helps prevent damage in transit, doesn't
That's
it?
Right. Yeah. But all the kits are all cleaned up, ready, basically ready for paint.
And you do it in various scales as well, so if people want a Star Trek figure.
Most things we can do in any scale. For instance, say the Spaceball figures, they were designed in 32nd scale, but we can go up to maybe 12th scale with them, or down to 72nd scale. This is the beauty of 3D printing, and you've no moulds to contend with. So, it's easy just to rescale things for the customer's needs.
Yeah, much easier than the old days with a physical master.
That's right, yeah.
And you've got some really interesting things. There's a Ferengi shuttle here from, the Next Generation or Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Also, there's the Wrath of Khan travel pod from the beginning of the film, I think, when they're going to the...
That's coming out probably later this year. We've got the... the version from the movie version, and this is going to be a new version with four different figures in the kit.
Also, there's Space 1999. There's the gun pod from Oblivion, I think. All kinds of different stuff. What's coming up next, other than the travel pod? What are your plans?
The Visitors V shuttle in 32nd scale. They're in production at the moment.
Figures two, I see.
Yeah, there'll be four sets of figures available, plus the V shuttle. And if they're successful, we'll do the other V variants, the squad shuttle, and the passenger train, and also the tanker.
They're kind of like the Space 1999 Eagle, aren't they? They're modular, should we
say? They're modular, yeah. So, that's I mean, hopefully I'll have those. For sale next month when I get them back from the producers.
What's your next show?
Next show will be Lincoln and then Telford.
So hopefully have those by Telford maybe?
Yes.
So do you know which hall you're in at Telford?
Hall 3.
Alright, so do go along and have a look at the Cosmic Scale Model stand at Hall 3 at Telford. I had a look last year, loads of good stuff. There's guaranteed, if you even have the remotest interest in sci-fi as a kid watching these great shows, you need to go along and have a look and pick something up. Okay. Also, you do some light-up signs?
Yeah. These are produced by a friend of ours. We can do laser etching and laser cutting as well for people. But these are stuff all sideline to brighten up your model shelf. We've actually done signs for model clubs as well, light-up signs.
Fantastic.
For various model clubs.
And they light up in different colours.
And we also laser cut basing kits as well, and also print bases for people.
There's a fantastic one there. Obviously, this is audio, so you can't see, but for Strange New Worlds, the new Star Trek show. So perfect for mounting your ship on.
It's a basing system that we've come up with. The two sizes of bases, a small and a medium, and then you just add your own. You choose which display base you want on top. Your printed display base.
So
then we've got rod holders to mount your ship to.
And there's all kinds of stuff here. There's like the movie poster. There's schematics from Star Trek ships. All kinds of different stuff available.
And we can also print anything that you send us. If you send us your own design or an image that you've downloaded from the web, we can print that onto your base for you as well. No extra cost.
And you're obviously available online. So what's the website?
The website's cosmicscalemodels.com.
All right, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So if you missed it on the audio version, you could go along there and click on that and get through.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Hey everyone, it's Chris at Inside the Armour Publications. I'd like to tell you about the new ebook we have available right now, Perfect Pits, the second edition. This is the same book as Perfect Pits that we previously released in print. However, it's now available as an ebook from insidethearmour.com and includes new material for a second edition. You can download this book along with any of our other ebooks on the ebook section of our site. In addition, I still have copies of Models from Ukraine Volume 2 if you'd like to help raise some money for a good cause and get a great modelling book full of fantastic artists like Calvin Tan, Paolo Portoresi and many others. please do go to the Supporting Ukraine page of the Inside the Armour site. All these books and more are available right now, including Tetramodel PE, Wingsy Kits, and a bunch of other great stuff at insidethearmour.com.
Here we go. I'm here with John from Hawk Miniatures. John, can you tell me about, how did Hawk Miniatures get started?
It started about 12 years ago with after watching a programme on the First World War VC pilots, McCudden and Manock, and that's where the range started. We got the two busts done by Carl Reed, shortly followed by a couple of other First World War pilots by Rob Lane, gratefully painted by Paul Blaber, and then the range has expanded from that. I was fortunate enough to acquire some David Greaves figures, which is his 100mm range, and then I've commissioned the SA Sudan period. I have a personal interest in the Crimea War, so hence the Charge of the Light Brigade mounted figures that we do, and the more recent Storming of the Great Redan.
You do a lot of different scales though, don't you? So what's this, is it what, 154 this morning? Should you do 130?
It's 75mm.
54mm, sorry, not 154.
No, it's 75mm.
75mm, yeah.
I stop at 75mm because I can actually see it myself. And then we go all the way up 90s, 100s, and then the big 150mm Nelson that we do, which is a classic David Greaves sculpt.
And is it pretty much medieval to Crimean War, or do you do anything later than that? Oh, no, of course you do World War One, right?
Yep, and recently we've launched a Wingate Chindit figure, so actually we've brought it up to the Second World War, the range now, and we go as far back as a Viking, but it's usually the British Empire, so Victorian era, so early 1800s to the 1914-18 war.
It shows a lot of painters seem to move over to fantasy and things. Is historical still popular?
Oh yeah, we still sell a range. The fact that I've had the Nelson in the range for 10 years and I still have to cast 12 a year, it just sells. And that, the Napoleonics always sell because of the coloured and bright uniforms that they've got. Yes, there is a transition to fantasy, but I stay out of that market. It's very competitive in there.
Well, and also if you've got a market and you do well in that market, then work with that market.
Stick with what I know.
Yeah. Now, you also do brushes, though, really good value sable brushes. Can you tell me about those?
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to find a family-run firm in Europe who make the Kowalski sable brushes that we do. We've got the standard ones, which are a black handle, full Kowalski sable, from 10 zeros up to 3s. More recently, we launched a walnut-handled wargaming series as well. So they're very popular across the genre of modelling, from the AFE guys to the figure painters. We have flats rounds, which are more specialised, as well as the angle brushes for the armours, for the streaky effects that they get on the tanks and the aeroplanes.
I've been using the walnut handle brushes that you gave me at S&W last year since then, and I've found that they keep a point really well. As long as you look after them, they're really good brushes.
It's like all brushes, it's treating them well, clean them properly. Always remember to stand them on the handle, point down, so the bristles point downwards to drain any liquid out of them, otherwise they will just spray. But equally at sensible pricing, you can get away with some of the users that I regularly sell to abuse them quite harshly because of the way they paint. And they stand the test of time with the points, but eventually they will wear out.
Well, no brush lasts forever.
No, exactly.
How much is a set of brushes, of the black handle round ones?
We do a set of 8, which is all the small ones, so that's 10 zeros up to 1s, they're £18. And then we do a large set of rounds, which is 3 2s and 0s, which again are £18, so you can't really go wrong at that price.
Where can people buy those?
They're available on our website and, of course, then whatever model shows we're attending.
And your website is?
It's hawkminiatures.co.uk.
All right. What is your next release?
Well, we've just released the Chindit and the Viking figure, both 75mm sculpted by Alan Ball. So they will be the ones that are coming out. Today's the first time they're on the show, on display, but the main release day will be a scale model challenge.
Well, that shows the range of Viking and... is it Ord Wingate, the Chindit?
Oh, yeah. So I might expand either of those periods a little bit more, investigate it a bit more, see how the first two figures go. I like building groups of figures that might fit together.
Now, you always get a scale model challenge, right? I think I see you there every year.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll be there this year?
I will be there this year.
Where is your location at the show? Do you know?
No, I haven't seen the floor plans yet, either for Scale Model Challenge or for Scale Model World.
You'll be at Scale Model World Telford as well, so if people aren't going to Scale Model Challenge but they're in the UK, find you at Telford.
All I can tell you about Telford is that I will be in Hall 2 at the moment.
Make sure you have a good look around at Telford, it's easy to miss some stuff.
Yes, oh yeah, you have to walk the halls, see everyone, but you'll easily see us because we'll have our banners up.
So which sculptors do you work
with? I use Alan Ball.
Alan Ball.
And Rob Lane are the two who sculpt for me. And the box art is now, since the passing of my late friend Eddie Vandersteen, I used Alex Long to do the box art.
Oh, fantastic, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you really should go along to the stand, actually, and have a look, because the figures on display are beautifully painted. It shows just what you can achieve with figures from Hort Miniatures. Thank you, John, for talking to me today.
Thank you. Good to see you, as always, Chris.
See you again soon.
Cheers, bye.
Hi, this is Jeffrey from Hypersonic Models. Please excuse this rude interruption to your favorite broadcast. You'd like to add more detail to your aircraft model? You'd like to fix that shape issue that you can't unsee? Have a look at my products on hypersonicmodels.com, as I may have just the item that you need that you can't get elsewhere. Resin, both cast and 3D printed, photo etch, and even some decals and masks. The main focus is on 1/48 scale post-war aircraft. Buy directly from me in Japan at hypersonicmodels, that's all one word, .com, or from one of my partner shops across the world. Thank you, and back to the studio.
All right, so I'm here with Ian Barraclough. You brought along a lot of your fantastic models, dioramas, AFVs, even aircraft. Why don't you tell us about the Lightning again?
The Lightning again. It's my most recent model that I finished. It's a model of a real Lightning that sits in a farmer's field about a mile from my home in the northeast of England. During COVID, I cycled past it on my bike, not realising it was there. Done a double take, stopped my bike and took some photos with my phone. I then revisited earlier this year during the summer after getting in touch with a farmer and took about 400 photographs around the model, and used that then to actually build what is the real XR718, which is the tail number of this particular Lightning. I've used quite a lot of 3D parts. I used some computer programs that will allow you to take photographs. It will then stitch up to 200 photographs together and create a 3D model. So where the engine should be, they've obviously been removed on the real model, and all of the interior is sort of modeled using 3D parts.
Which program do you use to do this, Gav?
It's called 3D Zephyr. Mm-hmm. It's a free program online for up to 50 photographs. If you pay or you go for the free trial, you get 30 days where you can use up to 200 photographs.
And what CAD program do you use to do these 3D parts?
I use Tinkercad. Mm-hmm. I realise it's sort of very basic, but it's at my level. I will eventually probably progress a little bit more, a bit more technical, but I don't do a great deal of sort of 3D design at the moment. I'm sort of very much dipping my foot in the water at the moment. So.
Do you print yourself? Or?
I do print myself. I sort of outlaid for any cubic mono 4K printer. It's only a small printer, what you probably call a hobby printer. But it's absolutely great for doing sort of small parts. I'll go on to things like Cults 3D online, pick up free files and print those off, which is really good fun to do. I've just recently done a nameplate for my latest model that I'm building at the moment, which is a T-72, to sort of print the nameplate for that.
Done a lot of scratchbuilding, very accomplished, comfortable scratchbuilding. Do you see it replacing your scratch?
I see it augmenting my scratch, certainly. It's quick and easy. It allows you to do a lot of complex parts very, very quickly. But I think there'll always be a place for scratch, and also for things like resin, aftermarket etch, and that sort of thing. It does have limitations. I recently tried to print some bar armour for a Mastiff. Initially in the program it looks great, but once I printed it, the parts are so thin, and they just warp straight out the printer. So it does have its limitations. For that, I would almost certainly go back to etch for those sort of very thin parts.
You're also not afraid of resin. People will know your Scammell
Commander.
Commander. With the, is it?
Woolwich.
Centurion of?
Woolwich Avery.
Woolwich Avery, sorry, yeah. Which was featured in AFE Modeler. I should say, actually, also go out and buy issue 110 of Air Modeler, which has the lightning on the cover as well. Mr. Coverstar. So you're not afraid of a resin kit. I mean, a lot of people will, resin is so hard compared to plastic. But, I mean, you're fine with resin, right?
It is. It takes a bit more work. It does take a lot of preparation. Things like cleaning, you know, and if you sort of come up with a sort of program for yourself for working, I always sort of plan my bills out. Preparation is sort of key with resin. Once you've got the parts prepared, it's pretty much then sort of modelling. It just takes a little bit more effort sometimes.
Do you think there's a long-term place for resin kits, or do you think it's a dying thing?
I certainly do. I had the conversation with Paul Wade from Red Zebra a little bit earlier today about 3D printing versus resin. And I said, for me, if I have the option to design a part myself and 3D print it myself, or go online and buy it, I will still go online and buy it because it's easier. It's also supporting the hobby, which I think is very important. To sort of do to keep the hobby sort of going, otherwise we're all just going to sit at home with 3D printers.
You also do a lot of British Army stuff, which is something, a modern British Army stuff I should say, which is something we don't see a lot of.
I was very lucky. I had a 24-year career in the Army, and I got access to a lot of the models that I sort of build. I was sort of coming to the end of my time. I realised that I had an opportunity to take a lot of pictures, a lot of photographs, obviously getting the right permissions, and then I sort of spent a lot of time photographing Challengers, that sort of thing, Trojans, Titans, all the British Armour stuff. Anything modern catches my eye, really, anything unique, anything out of the ordinary, I like to model, so I'm sort of really looking forward to some of the releases that are sort of on the horizon at the moment, with the Titan, the Trojan coming out, and the from Scott Cast, the Avery TES, which is sort of coming very soon, I believe.
Which I believe you can get from AMS, probably.
Yeah, AMS, yeah, who were here at the show today. I sort of helped with the craft Avery a little bit with their sort of design, so I'm looking forward to that coming out. It will certainly sort of be next on my bench as soon as it comes through the postbox. So.
What's on the bench at the moment?
It's a T-72. It's a Russian T-72 from the current Ukraine conflict. It will be not necessarily knocked out, but certainly abandoned. It's going to have a Ukrainian soldier stood on top with a Ukrainian flag in his hand. So it's a bit of a sort of statement build, really. And at the moment, I'm looking at what I could do with that build to maybe raise a bit of money for the conflict as well, to see if we could maybe raffle that build off to sort of if people are interested. I want to get the build done first before I decide what I'm going to do with it. But it's certainly something I'm looking at doing at the moment.
That's something you do a lot, isn't it? Support
people. I do try. It sort of frustrates me. Sort of 20 years ago, I would have been sort of itching to sort of maybe get over there. I was lucky enough that when I came out of the Army, I had a lot of kit left. As soon as they started appealing for the kit, I managed to get all of that equipment to a collection centre. And I do what I can. As I say, it sort of frustrates me. These days I'm sort of an overweight sort of modeller, whereas in the past I you know, probably could have done something a little bit more with a bit more effort. So yeah,
I mean, I think it's just important that people continue to support as much as possible. I think the support's dropped off a lot because it's been going on so long.
I think it is, and I think it's dropped out of the news. Certainly I think we as modellers, you know, we do, and myself particularly, you know, I model war machines. It's not that I support war, but I just find the machines interesting. But I think if we as modellers can do whatever we can to sort of keep it in the public eye and to sort of do what we can and where we can, then I think that's quite important.
Now, getting back to the actual models, something I always love about your work, you do really good groundwork. So how do you make these sort of... I mean, it's not just like a grass mat. There's various plants in there, different heights. How do you go about laying out your groundwork?
It's usually hit and miss. It's not a process. It's let's see what happens on the day that I'm doing it. Let's see where I feel I'm going with it. If I'm modelling a particular sort of real scene, as it were, like the Wessex, which was based on a scene on the side of an airfield, I noticed that on the picture that I was using, there was a lot of poppies. So I found sort of some red foliage that I could use as the poppies, for example. I went to a company many years ago called Diorama Precursor. They do a lot of groundwork. I spent about £200 ordering a lot of groundwork, and I've used it for the last, that particular box, I've used it for the last 20 years. So it's done me, and by bulk. Yeah, and I can only recommend, he does some great stuff, some great groundwork stuff. So, and again, I treat the ground as part of the model. Yeah. So I spend as much time on the groundwork as I will on the model. It's part of the display process. So
overall presentation is important in your models.
Very definitely, yeah. I see, and if I'm quite often this afternoon, I'm judging again. If I'm judging myself, I will always judge the ground. You know, if there is groundwork, I will judge it as part of the models. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much for talking to us today.
No problem at all, Chris.
We'll see you again soon. Thanks.
I'll see you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Hi, I'm Scott, the creator and owner of the Scale Modeler Supply, Australia's largest manufacturer of hobby paints. Our premium airbrush-ready acrylic lacquer paints are designed specifically for use on plastics, with a comprehensive range covering all popular modelling subjects including military, aircraft, rail, auto, sci-fi and more. And not only that, but we also have a wide selection of essential hobby tools and now, Infinite Colour, our new range of water-based paints for miniatures. So to check out our range and to find your closest retailer, please visit our website at scalemodeler.com.au. So when quality matters, choose SMS Paints.
I'm here with Paul from Name It Plates, specialist in doing plates for all your models, displays, figures, everything else. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
You alright? Can you tell us a bit about the business, how you got started?
Yeah, well, I went for years to somebody who was doing my nameplates, and then all of a sudden they stopped doing them. So Julie and I had a chat about what should we do. Shall I go to somewhere else? Or what would be involved in actually doing it ourselves? So went to a couple of suppliers of plate of metal and of the engraving machines, and set up ourselves, and that was in the millennium, so that's 23 years ago. And we've been going to all the shows around the UK and Europe ever since, really.
And you do diamond engraving, is that right?
Yes, it's a diamond headed engraving machine, a flatbed, so it's just right really for making small plates that go onto bases of models. And I have sold about 11,000 of them so far.
Just a couple.
Just a few, yes.
Now, you can engrave pretty much anything. Obviously text, but in any kind of font that you can match up, borders and everything.
Yes. It's all done by the colour of the material itself. They're either made out of brass or aluminium or plastic, and it gives us like 38 different colours to choose from. By engraving through into the base material. And I work on a system of about 30 or so standard sizes that people can use that should fit what they want. 15 or so fonts, that's the different types of type they can have, which again is aimed at modelling, so you've got Second World War type of fonts and ancients and that kind of thing, and I can do little borders on the base just to make it more interesting as well.
The plates themselves are relatively thin, so they can be formed to shape to a circular base or
yes,
shape,
yeah. Yeah, quite simply. My suggestion's always been to use the aluminium ones for shaping, because you can just use them, form them around by hand onto a smaller diameter material than the base, and then pop them on using a bit of, they all come with sticky on the back, but to go on a round base I would suggest using a bit of super glue as well.
How important do you think presentation is on a model?
Oh, definitely is. At the old Euro Militaire competitions, having a nameplate on it used to be part of the presentation. You used to get points for whatever you did, and you got points for putting a nameplate, telling people what it was. But it's the last thing you do. You make the model, you put it on a base, then you tell people what it is, and that's what I can do for you.
I always think models, look, particularly figures, look just unfinished. If they just stood on a wooden plinth and there's nothing there telling you what it is, you know, what date it was, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Just, you know, it's like cooking a meal and then putting it on a paper plate, really.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. And the same true for AFVs and that, you know. You might know an SDK have said 45 or FG, but does everybody?
No, yeah.
And the same, as you're saying, for figures, especially when they've got battle dates on them. And
yeah. Even with the armour, though, I mean, it gives context if you say in Normandy or Italy or something, doesn't it?
So, yeah, it does, yeah. Yeah, you've got a model on the base with a brocage, and you can tell people that's what it is. Yeah.
And you also do new services now where you can basically have a photograph or an image engraved.
Yeah, something relatively new. On my shiny metalled figures, nameplate rather, you can have an actual picture. If you send me a JPEG of the photograph, I can engrave that. I've got a machine which does that.
So it might be a pilot that flew the aircraft, or
that's kind of where it came from, really. There was a phase when people were making models of aircraft with their ace pilot from World War One or whatever, and I could do the picture of the fellow as well as the name. Yeah.
Now, you recently very kindly did a plate for me for the Models from Ukraine podcast, Best Ukrainian Model Trophy, as a mouthful, for Scale Model Challenge. And the turnaround was really quick. How fast can you turn around jobs when people need it?
Well, I try to do it by like return of post type of thing.
Yeah.
So if you send it to me in the post, Julie does the order up.
Mm-hmm.
I do the engraving, and we send it off in the padded envelope the next day. So it's within the week. And the same true if someone emails me an order, it's done.
It's obviously going to be different depending on what country you're in, so it might take a little bit longer. But
yes,
if there's a show coming up and you don't have a plate on your model, you do need to go to Name It Plates now and make sure you've got one. What's the website, Paul?
It's Name It Plates. So it's www.nameitplates.com. .co.uk.
And that's all one word, Name It Plates.
Yes, exactly. A long word.
Are you on social media? So I think you've got a Facebook page.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, which is also Name It Plates. Facebook page, where you can see roughly what we're doing. But really, it's on the website where we've got all the details of the different colours and the fonts and the finishes. And I'll keep people up to date with what we're doing as well there.
Now, you've got some plates here where the writing is so small it's virtually illegible, which kind of proves a point that there's only so many words you can fit on a certain space without making it smaller. But also it proves that pretty much whatever people need, you can do it, whatever size you need.
Exactly, yeah. And if it doesn't fit, and if it looks extremely small writing, then I'll tell people.
Yeah, and you can work with them to sort it out.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Now, I've been seeing your stuff since... you're a militaire, I think, before it finished.
Yeah,
so
we used to be there.
You're at all the shows. You're going to be at Scale Model Challenge. So if someone wants a plate, they can pre-order, I imagine, and pick it up there, or they can get it in the post. I would suggest, particularly the armour and aircraft modellers out there who don't normally do this, get a plate, stick it on your model. It does make a difference when I'm judging at Scale Model Challenge to see a bit of effort gone into the presentation. If you love your model, give it all the love and care you can.
And it's telling people what it is.
Yeah. All right. Nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.